You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for joining us. The JX starts today with the debrief, where JPR reporters discuss the stories they've been covering this week, including a baseball team inspiring a tax for a conference center, pushback to a proposed mental health facility in Shasta County, and food banks bracing for the loss of SNAP benefits. I'm Maria Carter, JPR's news director.
I'm Jane Vaughn, housing, homelessness, and education reporter.
I'm Justin Higginbottom, public health and safety reporter.
And I'm Roman Battaglia, politics, environment, and sports reporter.
Roman, you brought us a story about one of the few elections in our region, a tax increase in Medford. What is this tax and what would the increase be used for?
Yeah, so this is for the special election next week. Medford, they're voting on an increase to the transient occupancy tax, which for those who don't know is also known as a hotel tax or a lodging tax. This measure would increase that maximum tax from 11% to 13%. And so this is a tax that is charged on visitors who come to stay in Medford, either at a hotel or a short-term lodging like an Airbnb or something, so it's not charged on residents necessarily. And this would be used to fund this major development, this major conference center and hotel called Creekside Quarter right now. They are estimating it'd be costing about $500 million, which would be the largest, most expensive development in Jackson County history. It would be right in downtown Medford. And this tax increase would basically be a subsidy for the development of that conference center. So the city back in 2017 had a study that basically said no to a conference center, that they couldn't support it at the time. But a more recent study that just came out had said that now you can build a conference center, basically because event bookings in Portland are going down and there's increased demand and stuff. So, you know, people in Medford have been wanting a conference center for a while, especially these business leaders. So this tax increase, I was trying to look at how much the tax has generated, you know, in the past, and it's been generating around $6 million. So this increase would probably generate around an extra $1 million a year for the city, and that would all go towards the development of that conference center.
So how did this idea for a hotel tax come about exactly?
So interestingly, it all came from an effort to bring a baseball team here, which is not someone who operates a conference
center. Yeah, let's break down that logic.
Yeah, so there's this minor league team called the Eugene Emeralds in Eugene that basically need to move from Eugene. So they share a stadium right now with the Oregon Ducks at the University of Oregon, but now they've been kind of upgraded a level, and so their schedules with the Ducks now overlap. There aren't enough facilities. They have to use these portable locker rooms out in the parking lot, and the facility doesn't meet the Major League Baseball standards anyways. So voters there failed to help fund a new stadium there. It would have cost around $90 million. They raised most of the money, but they needed, I think, around $12 to $15 million, you know, to fill in that gap. And they had voters vote on a property tax increase, but they voted against it. So now they have to move. They decided that Medford was the right pick. You know, there's a lot of sporting history in Medford, especially baseball. There's a lot of baseball fields in Medford at like the Harry and David Fields. There also did used to be a minor league team here in the past. So, you know, after that proposal came forward, the city kind of started thinking about revitalizing downtown. They have a developer who's still currently unnamed who came forward who'd be interested in building a conference center and hotel. So they decided, hey, let's do it. Let's do it, and this is how we're going to fund it.
So building a conference center and hotel, not a baseball stadium. Yeah. When and where does the baseball stadium come into this?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it started with the baseball stadium, but the stadium has kind of been pushed to the side over this conference center and hotel. You know, they think that that's really needed to kind of revitalize the downtown and bring in more business and stuff. The stadium is still proposed. It's still kind of part of this Creekside Quarter development. It would be on the other side of the freeway in Hawthorne Park, and the stadium would probably be built last. Most importantly, it's because they don't really have the money to fund it yet. You know, they're kind of getting the money for the conference center, but the hotel tax would not go towards the stadium. So the city still needs to find the funding for it. They could be through ticket fees or concession fees or rental car charges or something. They said they don't really want to charge residents for it. So, you know, we don't know. The development could take 5 to 10 years, so it could be a while before the stadium gets built, which could be a problem from the Emeralds because they are kind of struggling right now in their current stadium, but it's really their only choice at this point. They told me that they kind of put all of their eggs in one basket with this.
Okay, but not everyone is happy about this proposal. What are the critics saying?
Yeah, there's a couple concerns. I think the biggest one that I've seen, and I even saw a billboard while I was over there, is Hawthorne Park and the concerns about it. The stadium would take up the north half of the park, and that's kind of where, you know, all the playgrounds and the farmer's market, there's splash pad, all the other stuff there is. The south part would stay, but people have kind of complained about homeless encampments being there before, and there's not as many amenities. You know, the stadium would significantly shrink the park and kind of get rid of a lot of green space right in the middle of the city, which people are really, you know, worried about. They don't just want it to be a concrete jungle. You know, other people are just kind of worried that the city is just not funding another major project, and they're worried that this is going to work out. They think that, you know, redevelopment or revitalization of downtown could be done better than with a conference center, and that they're worried this will never get done. You know, this would also make Medford's hotel tax one of the highest in Oregon and the highest in the region. It would be higher than some of the other cities Medford would be looking to compete against in the conference center space, like Eugene and Salem. So, you know, I'm sure that companies might take that in consideration. And this conference center site is currently the site of the Merrick, which are these hotels or these apartments that were converted from hotels to house Alameda Fire survivor housing. And there's still a lot of people still living there, so there's concern about where those people are going to go.
Well, how do supporters say they're addressing these concerns?
Well, the city council, in terms of Hawthorne Park, they said they would clean up the park and move the amenities from the north to the south. They said that, you know, that would give the developer more incentive to build on the other side of the freeway, too. You know, I also did see some people talking about, well, how much are people actually using Hawthorne Park? Like, they say they love all these playgrounds, but are they actually using them? You know, in terms of the Merrick and this apartments, it sounds like there already are conversations with Access, a nonprofit, about relocating these people. And this would also still be a private project. I mean, the developer, you know, the city's not just going to take the land. The developer would have to negotiate and buy the land anyways, so they would have to figure out what to do with those people regardless. You know, the city also says if the developer backs out, that money will still be there, you know, if someone else wants to take in. And they also passed a resolution at the city council where they're only going to raise the tax to 12% first, and then they'll only raise it to 13% if they need that money, and they'll repeal the tax after it's been paid off. So, you know, this is kind of just the start. There's going to be lots more happening after the vote. If the vote doesn't happen and fails, then this project is likely dead on arrival. You know, the city pointed out to the success of Rogue X, which is this aquatic sports event center that the city built. That was when they last raised this hotel tax back in 2020, and they say that's been really successful. So,
and if it does happen, there's still a lot of question marks that you'll be following, Rowan, right? Okay, well, thank you so much. Justin, you reported on Shasta County supervisors opposing building a large mental health care campus in that area. First, can you tell us what this proposed facility would be?
Yeah, so the proposal is for a pretty large $200 million facility called the True North Behavioral Health Campus. Signature Health Services, which is a private for-profit company, would run it. And they were in the process of submitting an application for state funds with help from some local nonprofits and other organizations when this whole pushback against the facility began. So there's right now hundreds of millions of dollars in state funds available because of Prop 1, which was passed by voters in California. And Signature, that healthcare company, they're asking for $150 million from the state to build the facility. They would invest another $50 million. And the company and the supporters of this proposed campus say it would not only provide a lot more bed space for those experiencing a mental health care crisis in the county, but would also just provide hundreds of jobs in Shasta County. It would be an economic driver just because of the scale of this.
Okay, this sounds like a good opportunity for Shasta County, $200 million in investment. Why is it being opposed?
Yeah, I think this surprised a lot of people. So it all started really with a letter by the Shasta County Health and Human Services Director, Christy Coleman. And she laid out why she's against this facility in the proposal in that letter. And first she says that the bed space which the facility will provide is actually not needed in the county. So she says that what Shasta County really needs is space for high acuity patients. So those are people with really severe conditions that require specialized care and a lot of times long-term care. And she doesn't think this facility will provide that. She also said that this campus, although it's state-funded, would still cost the county money. So her department would be required under law to provide support and regulatory services to Medi-Cal beneficiaries who are treated at that campus. So it would stretch their resources. And then finally, she's against the sort of regional nature of this facility. So it's a very large proposed campus. It would attract people from all of the North State. And she fears it will attract these people from outside the county, and then Shasta would need to care for them after they're released. So she released this letter, and then a board meeting was called, within 2 days before this application was due to the state, so it was kind of short notice. And ultimately, supervisors voted 3 against 2 to support that letter and her criticism, so to oppose the facility. And as you can imagine, that was a pretty contentious meeting. A lot of supporters of the facility came out. It was very long, but in the end, they did vote to oppose it.
So with the opposition, is this matter dead in the water, or is it still cruising along?
No, so Signature, that healthcare company, did end up submitting that application to the state for funding this week. There was some uncertainty because the application requires a letter of support from a county's behavioral health agency, and they obviously didn't get that with Shasta County's agency opposing it. But, this application also had dozens of other letters of support from law enforcement to health providers, as well as other counties' health agencies. So I think they reasoned that they had enough support there that they could continue with this application. And this week, residents really took notice of this vote. And this week, nearly 100 protesters in favor of building the facility showed up at Shasta County's administrative building and kind of let supervisors know that they didn't like their decision to oppose this.
Okay, well, we'll see where that heads. Thanks so much, Justin. Jane, you wrote a story this week about potential changes to federal food benefits that are coming soon as part of the federal shutdown. Why might that be happening? I think I just gave it away there.
You did. It's because of the federal government shutdown, which started on October 1st. And if it continues into November, which at this point seems likely, November starts tomorrow, then those federal food benefits, which are known as SNAP, won't be paid out. And so then low-income families who normally get those benefits won't have that money that they rely on to get food. And that would affect more than 750,000 people in Oregon and about 5.5 million people in California.
So there could be a lot more people looking for food resources. Mm-hmm. How are food banks preparing?
They're really expecting a pretty big increase in need and a big influx in people. They're expecting hundreds of additional families to need emergency food assistance. I talked to Amy Broker, who's the executive director of the Ashland Community Food Bank, and she said that when subsidized SNAP benefits and other COVID relief programs ended years ago, their demand doubled. And so she's preparing for that again now. I also talked to the executive director of the Trinity County Food Bank, Jeff England, and he said he's expecting an increase of about 10 to 20% more families there. So there's worries about not having enough food for everyone with so much need. They don't want to have to turn people away, especially heading into the holiday season. Jeff England says he needs at least 1,300 turkeys for Thanksgiving. So in terms of how to do that, they're trying to prepare. They're working on it. They're asking for more donations. They're holding more food drives. They're asking businesses and companies to maybe consider holding food drives. Some places are holding food drives now that never have in the past. They're also concerned at the food banks because they're not sure how long the situation is going to last, so it's kind of hard to plan for. There has been some state support. So in Oregon, Governor Tina Kotek has declared a 60-day food security emergency and ordered $5 million to be sent to food banks. California Governor Gavin Newsom is working to fast-track $80 million in state money to support food distribution. He's also mobilized the National Guard to pack and distribute meals. And then both states have signed on to a multi-state lawsuit suing President Trump over not funding these SNAP benefits.
So where can people who may have lost their SNAP benefits go if they need help?
We have links on our website. If you need help with food, you can find local food bank that's closest to you. In Oregon, you can go through the Oregon Food Bank Network. In California, you can go to the California Association of Food Banks, use your zip code or address. I would also recommend checking in with your local food bank. So Amy from the Ashland Community Food Bank says people will sometimes say, oh, I already got food from this other organization, Access, this month, so I can't come to you. She says it doesn't matter. You can still come to our food bank. They're not checking where else you've gotten food from this month. So ask if you've got questions.
And what about people who aren't losing benefits or may be able to help? What can they do?
They recommend donating time by volunteering if you can, donating money to the food banks that they can buy food with, or you can also donate food. And they love food donations because it's something different than what they usually buy, and they get some variety. So time, money, or food, whatever's easiest to you, the food banks are asking for you to do it.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Jane. That's it for the debrief this week. Thanks for listening. You can reach the newsroom with comments on our cover and suggestions for things we should cover in the future through our news tip line. That's on our website, ijpr.org. And you can find this program and more at jeffexchange.org or on your favorite podcast platform.